Brought to you by Human Appeal International. AJ's Lounge.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you, and welcome to Ramadan Dates, a show about the faith of submission, Islam, and the blessed month of Ramadan. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made fasting compulsory in the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, the second chapter of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who have believed, decreed upon you is fasting, as it was decreed upon those before you, so that you may attain taqwa. To explain to us taqwa, righteousness, piety, and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have with us today Sheikh Rami Al-Sharawna. Sheikh Rami has completed some studies in Lebanon and Egypt and continues his study today. He joins us today. Sheikh Rami, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Welcome to the show.
Jazakumullah khair. Thanks for having me. Allah barak
fi. Sheikh Rami, taqwa is an incredibly difficult word to translate into the English language.
Subhanallah.
What exactly is taqwa?
سبحان الله جزاكم الله خير أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم جزاكم الله خير May Allah سبحانه وتعالى place the baraka in one path May Allah سبحانه وتعالى bless your actions and May Allah سبحانه وتعالى accept it كل عام وأنتم بخير رمضان مبارك to you the team ما شاء الله and all the brothers and sisters in Sydney Australia and worldwide بإذن الله عز وجل أخي you've touched on a very important topic The word taqwa, if we look at it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned it in more than 60 locations in Al-Quran al-Kareem. And the derivatives of the word taqwa have been mentioned also in more than 190 locations in Al-Quran al-Kareem, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we look at the word taqwa, we have a hard time translating into English. We also have a problem even understanding it from the Arabic sense where the word taqwa can mean so many different things. And encompass so many different and beautiful meanings within it. For example, some of the scholars would define the word taqwa to mean that you place a barrier between you, the slave, and what angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
SubhanAllah.
That's one of the forms of taqwa. One other forms of taqwa, which Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu, one of the
Khulafa
al-Rashidin, has mentioned. Is that taqwa is for you to do what Allah has ordered you to do and to abstain from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbade you to do.
Simple.
So, as simple as that.
Simple definition.
And there's a definition that I liked and I would like to use for tonight's purposes. The definition that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu asked Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Define taqwa. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu told him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, the leader of the believers, have you ever walked on a land which has thorns in it? So he told him, Naam, yes, I have. He told him, what did you do? He said, well, I looked carefully where I place my foot so that I do not step on the thorn, on the shawk. So he told him, taqwa is for you to walk in life as if you're walking on a land full of thorns.
Allahu Akbar.
So you can imagine from Umar bin Abdul Aziz to Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu to the different definitions. Taqwa is to abstain from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbade us from doing.
And it also has a reference to righteousness, to piety,
Absolutely.
To fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way he deserves to be feared. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says continuously in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqwa Allah haqqa tuqati. O you who have believed, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way he deserves to be feared. And the word of taqwa is something that is, we hear this every single khutbah on Fridays.
Sahih.
We are reminded of to be fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to have this taqwa. Sheikh Rami, I want to ask you the question. The month of Ramadan is quite synonymous with the term of taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ so that you may attain taqwa. How is taqwa and Ramadan related?
SubhanAllah, akhi wallahi. If there is one month in the year that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the Muslims as a ni'mah, as a bounty, in order for them to attain taqwa, it's a month of Ramadan.
SubhanAllah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you, brother, and helps you, sister, by allowing you to abstain from food and water. And you automatically notice that your eyes are not wandering as they used to. That your mouth, your tongue is not indulging in what it used to. Your ears and your limbs. And by doing so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you a window of opportunity to seize taqwa or attain taqwa. And mind you, أخي ملاز, the purpose of Ramadan and one of the main purposes of Ramadan isn't for us to deprive ourselves from food and water and our desires. It's to attain taqwa.
Allahu
Akbar. To attain this state where you're so God-conscious, you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aiding you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in your affairs, whatever it is that you do day and night. Inna Allah ma'a al-muttaqeen. That Allah is with the muttaqeen.
Those who have taqwa.
Those who have attained taqwa.
SubhanAllah. And the month of Ramadan, of course, Sheikh, is an excellent opportunity where every single person, male, female, young, old, should be working towards this taqwa and attaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Absolutely.
What are some ways or some methods that one can do this in the month of Ramadan?
SubhanAllah, akhi Malaz, wallahi, the month of Ramadan is definitely a very very unique opportunity for us to seize this taqwa. And for us to seize this taqwa, a person must do some mujahada, some struggle against themselves, against their nafs, in order to attain this state of God consciousness. I want to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In order to achieve that, I need to sacrifice some sacrifices. A little bit of less sleep, a bit of less food, water, whatever it is that we do in order to attain this taqwa. Increase my worship. Increase in recitation of the Quran. There are so many different ways, and the scholars will tell you if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened up a door for you, Akhi Malaz, let's say maybe in the recitation of the Quran, and you find that your heart indulges in recitation of the Quran, you are closer to Allah whilst you're reciting the Quran, then do so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the opportunity. Akhi, seize the opportunity and run with it. Use it to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another person's recitation may not be as good. However, Allah has opened up for them the door of dua.
Yes.
To call on to Allah. So call on to Allah as much as possible. A third person might be the door of generosity, of giving in the path of Allah in the month of Ramadan. Donate in the path of Allah. And all the certain doors. The main way to attain taqwa, specifically in the month of Ramadan, is to use the synergy of fasting alongside the mujahada, the struggle against the nafs, in order to attain it through leaving the haram, abstaining from the haram. It is fundamental for anybody who wants to achieve taqwa to let go of the haram. Just like your able brother to let go of that cigarette throughout the day.
Yes.
You could do it at night.
SubhanAllah.
And you could do it outside the month of Ramadan.
Yes.
Just like you can, brother, whilst you're fasting, not let your eyes look at the haram. Do so at night and do it outside the month of Ramadan. Just like you can let go of waliyadu billah, swearing or backbiting or whatever it is that you indulge with, do it outside Ramadan and at night. So abstaining from the haram is fundamental to attain the state of taqwa. Secondly, to increase the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you find, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, akhi malaz, and I'm sure you'll notice this, that in the month of Ramadan, the mosques are more full.
Alhamdulillah.
You know, we have car park issues and parking issues, etc. Because, I mean, subhanAllah, there's increased numbers of musalleen. Alhamdulillah, that's a good thing. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it the case throughout the whole year. We have more worshippers, more donators, more fundraising dinners, more iftars, etc. That needs to be the case throughout the whole year. So abstaining from the haram. Secondly, two, increasing the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, to increase God consciousness.
Excellent, excellent. It sounds like you are telling us about a training course that we go through this particular month.
Yeah.
That once the month of Ramadan sort of concludes and finishes, we are sort of trained with better skills and a greater connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
No.
And even a greater understanding of our deen and a greater sort of relationship with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a greater relationship with the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it really sounds like you're telling us about this amazing training course. We'll be right back after the break with Sheikh Rami talking about taqwa.
You've worked hard for your money. Now let your money work hard for you. An Islamically compliant and ethical investment. Cordobra Investments. 1-300-664-746. CordobraInvestments.com.au.
Dougie's Grill.
Providing a unique fresh taste of authentic Mediterranean cuisine and Portuguese-style chicken, all carefully prepared using our addictive fresh recipes and finished with our unique blend of herbs and spices.
Addicted to Dougie's Grill.
Voted by the Daily Telegraph in the top 10 of Sydney's best burgers.
Oh, Ramadan days.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back. We are with Sheikh Rami and we are talking about taqwa in the month of Ramadan. Allahu Akbar, it's amazing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this opportunity, Sheikh, an opportunity to follow the footsteps of the beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when it comes to taqwa, an opportunity to follow the footsteps of the people who are righteous who came before us. What are some examples of muttaqeen?
Subhanallah. Akhi wallahi, jazakum Allah khair, bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa sallam, wa sayyidina Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Continue on the topic of taqwa and talking about muttaqeen, akhi, there is absolutely no shortage in Islamic history. Muttaqeen, and the akhi, they are living amongst us today as well, some of them, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has constantly given the ummah examples of muttaqeen for us to look up to in order to yani walk on their footsteps. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to attain that high status of taqwa. For example, one of the examples yani, and I'd like to share it with you akhi tonight if that's okay, is Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, one of the yani most pious and God-conscious men, whoever walked on the face of the planet, the face of the earth. Here he is one day. His slave brings him some food. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, at that state, he was extremely hungry. So he said, Bismillah, and began eating this food.
Yes.
And he started indulging himself in this food. And subhanAllah, his slave was amazed when he told him, usually ask me where I get my food from. However, today you didn't ask me. Okay. Why didn't you ask me? He told him, look, I was so hungry. Where did you get your food from? So and so. He said, in the Jahiliyyah, pre-Islam, I done some kahana, I done some witchery of some sort, or I sort of magic of some sort. Yeah. And I, the people liked it, and they met me not longer, and they gave me some food, and here it is, you're eating it.
So in return of the witchcraft or the magic that
the
he
magic
did,
that this person
paid him some sort of something in food.
Something, to return the favor, yes. So to speak. So, and this is pre-Islam, and he only saw them just recently, so they wanted to reward him. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when he realized that the source of this food is non-halal.
Yes. Because of course, magic and witchcraft is not permissible in Islam.
Absolutely. So when he found out that this food, obviously the source isn't halal, and he did not know prior to that, he went and began to vomit with the contents of this food from his stomach. And continued to do so. Mind you, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Akhi Malaz, was guaranteed Jannah.
Allahu Akbar.
Mind you, Abu Bakr Siddiq did not leave a battle for the sake of Allah that he did not go to.
Allahu Akbar.
He donated all his wealth in the path of Allah. He was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the cave. He was the main companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Yes.
And here he is scared on himself. So here is Abu Bakr Siddiq vomiting the food that was inside him. And then they told him, okay, khalas. So he kept vomiting and drinking water and vomiting it. And drinking water and vomiting it.
To make sure there's no remnants of it left.
Absolutely. And he said, so they told him, Abu Bakr, you're going to kill yourself. He said, by Allah, there's one more morsel. If it only comes out with my soul, I do not mind.
Allahu Akbar.
Because he has heard the hadith that if any piece of flesh has grown from haram, then hellfire is more worthy of it.
Allahu Akbar.
SubhanAllah, akhi, you could see the taqwa of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Here is a man who is guaranteed Jannah, doing his absolute best to make sure he doesn't have a piece of flesh that can be eligible to enter hellfire.
SubhanAllah, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is a great companion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a great example of how taqwa is actually done in his day and age.
Sahih.
What are some practical applications of taqwa in this day and age, Sheikh Rami?
Nah, subhanAllah. Akhi al-Kareem, wallahi, I must admit, and I do make a confession to yourself and to your respected audience, is that taqwa in this day and age is extremely difficult to attain.
Okay.
We live in a day and an age where haram is so easy.
Yes.
And halal is much harder.
SubhanAllah.
We live in a day and age where, waliyadu billah, fornication is easy. However, marriage is made harder. Halal food is difficult to attain. However, haram food surrounds us. So I must confess, being pious in today's age somewhat can be a little bit difficult. However, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who helps you to attain this state. Yani, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون. That the friends of Allah and the allies of Allah, لا خوف عليهم, there is no fear on them, and there's no sadness or depression on them. What's the description, أخي ملاز؟ الذين آمنوا, those who have attained faith, وكانوا يتقون. And this is what I would like to attain. And I'm sure this is what you'd like to attain.
Of course.
And the يعني respected audience. How can we attain this taqwa? First of all, we need to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can't call myself a taqi in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and waliyadu billah, I have a particular sin.
Yes.
That I'm constantly indulged in.
So the first thing is to repent from any sin that you are insisting on.
Absolutely. To repent from any sin that you're constantly يعني falling into, whatever it is, and to insist and fight your nafs not to go back into this sin. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. That's number one. Number two, أخي الكريم, is to, as we mentioned earlier, to increase from the worships of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can't be the taqi who's watching TV all day. You know, unless you're watching One Path, it's a different story. I can't be the taqi who's, you know, just sleeping all day, playing on his games all day, etc. What have you attained, أخي, for the sake of Allah? What worship have you done? I can't be the taqi by just, you know, wasting my time here and there. I need to increase my worship in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The salah at the masjid, the recitation of the Quran, the constant remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
yes.
The constant dua, ya Rab, ya muyassir al-qulub, ya muthabbit al-qulub, and so on. Constant dua, constant worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and being in the company of muttaqeen.
Allahu Akbar.
Which is very hard to find, but they are out there, akhi.
Inshallah.
We need to find a taqi of a friend so that
they can rub off,
so could attain some of their beautiful qualities.
Subhanallah, Shaykh, yeah. That's some great advice that you give us. That exactly. I mean, even in this day and age, you say that we can attain the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing the righteous action, by using this holy month, you know, of Ramadan, to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and increase in our piety, increase in our righteousness, and increase in our consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sheikh Rami, how can one attain piety? I mean, give me more on how one can attain piety.
Inshallah. Akhi al-Karim, wallahi, yani if there's, as I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, if there's a month throughout the whole year that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it so easy for you to attain piety, it's this month.
Yes.
Yeah, if you think about it, you're already waking up before Salat al-Fajr, for your suhoor.
Yes.
Why can't you just eat your suhoor and pray a couple of raka'at?
Yes.
Repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did you know that just by you praying raka'atayn, raising your hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your dua is accepted.
Allahu Akbar.
Your dua is accepted. You don't need to, yani, I had a person contacting me yani a little while ago, telling me that they want to travel simply because they heard that whilst you're traveling, your dua is accepted.
Allahu Akbar.
And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy on that person. However, your dua is accepted by waking up before Salat al-Fajr.
Yes.
And making that dua. Wallahi, by the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, your dua is accepted. Repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time. So you wake up, you're eating your suhoor, pray a couple of raka'at, call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're up anyway, go pray fajr at the mosque. وَتَشْكُ الْمَسَاجِدِ يعني the mosques were crying outside Ramadan.
SubhanAllah.
And sometimes some mosques will cry even in Ramadan because of the lack of musallin, unfortunately. So go pray in Salat al-Fajr at the mosque. You've got some time from, you know, from the time that you pray to the time that you can go to work or uni or to fulfill your duties. Recite a bit of Quran before shuhr, pray raka'atayn, go about your day, constant remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's say I'm at work, let's say I'm at university, let's say I'm a mother that's cooking or cleaning or that's picking up kids or dropping them off. Whatever it is I do, there's nothing that's stopping me from remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allahu Akbar. So the remembrance constantly. Of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the constant remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that can help us attain this piety.
Absolutely, absolutely. So constant remembrance of Allah, being God conscious. So I'm at work, and I'm used to attaining money through haram ways.
Waliyadu billah.
Waliyadu billah. Akhi, the month of Ramadan is the month that I need to
clean up my act. Correct oneself.
Rectify that. So I'll no longer accept haram money. I'll no longer do dodgies in the car that I fixed, or that plumbing job that I've done, or that patient that I did not treat well, or the student that I did not teach well, whatever it is that I do. I'm a student. Why should I be cheating in the month of Ramadan? I'm a mother. Why shouldn't I be looking after my kids in the best of ways in the month of Ramadan? Allah is watching me.
Allahu Akbar.
The God consciousness, Akhi Malaz, the perfection of your actions, the perfection of your deeds, the perfection of your worship, specifically and especially in the month of Ramadan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani gives you this opportunity to remember him all the time.
Allahu Akbar. And I mean, one of the things that you mentioned that really strikes a chord is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. I mean, when you put this into context, regardless of your work, regardless of your area of expertise, regardless what you do, when you just constantly remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching, this is one of the ways that one can attain taqwa. We'll go to a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be back with Sheikh Rami, inshallah.
Oh, Ramadan days.
We've helped over 2 million people, built over 1,000 wells, sponsored over 58,000 orphans, fed over 1.5 million people, sheltered over 5,000 families, treated over 80,000 people, and educated over 5,000 students. But we still need more. We need to build more wells, sponsor more orphans, shelter more families, provide more aid, feed more people, and educate more students. Whatever the crisis, your donation means we can help. Human Appeal International. Do more this Ramadan.
For Taylor Small Goods and Wholesale Meat Supplies, provide the very best in quality meat products and hand-slaughtered chicken. For Taylor, available at reputable halal butchers and select Coles supermarkets. 13000 halal.
Oh, Ramadan days.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back. We are with Sheikh Rami. We've been talking about taqwa, righteousness, piety, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sheikh Rami, I mean, this takes levels, of course. Absolutely. And one of the levels that every single one of us must attain and sort of work hard for is when we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and out of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we weep. Tell us a bit about that, inshallah.
Subhanallah. Akhi Malaz, wallahi, it's one of the more touching subjects and topics, subhanallah. However, in the month of Ramadan, as the God consciousness increases, as the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the love for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has increases, it is normal for the eye to to become watery.
Yes.
As you interact with the Quran, as your soul mixes with the soul of the Quran,
Allahu
it's Akbar. Only natural for your body to experience the joy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken about. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُ الْقُلُوبِ
سُبْحَانَهُ
اللَّهُ نَزَّلَ أَحْسَنَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابًا مُتَشَابِهًا. In this particular verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the skin of those who fear their Lord, that when they hear the verses of their Lord, the skins would shiver.
Allahu Akbar.
And the hearts would find tranquility. It is normal, Akhi Malaz, when if two people are in love and for circumstances, by the will of Allah, if they were sort of segregated, when they are joined again, that the eyes become watery. The
emotions
arise. And so it does in Ramadan.
Allahu
when
Akbar.
The heart is filled with iman again,
yes.
When the heart finds its joy, it's only normal to cry. When the heart thinks about Jannah and wanting what's in Jannah, it's only normal to cry and ask Allah for it. And when the heart and when the mind contemplates on what's in hellfire, wal-a'udhu billah, what's in the grave, it's only normal for the eyes to become watery and cry.
And just quickly, Sheikh Rami, I mean, if one finds that he's going through the month of Ramadan and he's not able to cry or doesn't find that emotion or doesn't feel that boost of iman, what's your recommendation?
Allah subhanallah, Mahdi, it's a very big question, but the first thing I would highly recommend is go to the cemetery.
Yes.
Spend as
so
much.
Remember death.
Remember death, absolutely. Go, and if you can possibly go to the cemetery, do so. Look at the graves. You'll be spending your time there. It's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time before me and you will end up there.
I think that on its own is enough reminder for all of us to actually be mindful and watchful. And that's when you remember death, it's something that actually makes the hearts tremble and make us more conscious of the reality of our life. Sheikh Rami, Jazakallah khair. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And sharing your wonderful thoughts with us today. Brothers and sisters, dear viewers, thank you for tuning in. Until next time, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.